from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I probably just hear everything, man.
Yeah?
This is pretty spooky.
Wait, like the boogeyman?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, you've read into it.
I've read. That's what we're gonna be talking about today.
Okay, so how are we gonna do this?
Well, okay, what we're gonna do is, because you're the dumb person of the show, we're going to ask you what you think it is and what you think other people think it is. So actually let's start with the first one. What do you think people's general perception about Scientology is?
I think for the most part people don't care.
Wow, that was insightful.
Okay.
Well, I'll provide you my interpretation of what actually people think.
What, like to everybody in general, like everyday person, or Bookie McBookerson who reads books down at the bookstore?
First of all, it's either called a library, you know.
The book place where they give books for free.
For a limited amount of time. What's that about? Gotta return them? Mm-hmm. So stupid. Okay, here's what the majority of people that I've talked about Scientology know, either one of two things. One, they think it has something to do with science, because it's got a catchy title.
Yep.
Or two, they know about it, and they kind of, they're like, oh, well, you know, I heard it's kind of a cult. You know, they know that Tom Cruise is in it, and, well, you know, Tom Cruise is kind of crazy.
Yep.
And everybody that seems to be in it seems to be a little bit nutty, and that's just the general kind of perception. So it's kind of like your uncle who's a harmless crank, right? You just think, well, he does his own thing.
Yeah.
It's you know, makes some people happy, so it's got to be all right.
This is what I say. There's a media war out there against Scientology, and that's the problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's just the reality of the situation.
You mean it's what gives them their credibility?
Not what that gives them their credibility.
Or what gives them their not credibility, I mean exposure?
Well, let's take a look at Tom Cruise, for instance. I don't want to get onto a tangent, and this isn't going to be the Tom Cruise podcast, but every crazy thing that Tom Cruise does, people blame on Scientology. What's up with that? Can't a person, do stupid things and not have it attributed to their stupid religion?
All right, but what if your stupid thing includes this? Like, he bought himself a sound, like one of those machines there for ultrasounds.
Yeah,
and this is a $60,000 piece of machinery, so that he could, apparently, because here's the thing, in Scientology, the births are supposed to be utterly silent, and you're supposed to completely control the noises the baby's exposed to, because, you know, Hubbard believed that they cause memory engrams that can lead to trauma and all this other kind of ridiculousness. But anyways, he bought one of those, and right away, the state of California had said, well, if you use that, you will go to jail, because you literally need to be licensed to be using one of these. But, I mean, who knows if he used it or didn't use it, and used improperly, you can actually negatively affect the health of the baby. So crazy behavior number one, which is attributed directly to his religious beliefs.
How does getting an ultrasound machine have anything to do with the silent birth process?
Well, it's controlling noises and sending like noise impulses to try to stimulate the baby and stuff like that.
Oh,
in a positive manner.
It's
it's like the reverse idea. Instead of saying because they think that negative noises or whatever can cause bad engrams. Well, you know, the reverse of that is positive sounds and soothing sounds or whatever. He decided he wanted to do it with an ultrasound machine, though. That's pretty damn nutty. But that's a direct consequence of his religious belief. So, yeah, that's a little nutty right there. His attack on psychiatry and on prescription drugs, direct results of his religious belief. So you can't just say a person does something that's nutty and blame the nut, not necessarily the nutty religion. I mean, it's a blurry line, no?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, but I don't know. I just get tired of everybody saying, oh, look at this Scientologist do these things because he's a Scientologist.
Okay, you're tired of people hating on Tommy Boy.
Basically.
Okay. I will admit he's probably not the nuttiest one out there, but here's the thing. Here's a couple things that are quite annoying about him. Number one, any movie that he makes, there's an army of Scientologists that follow him. They set up like a booth. You know, he insists that people like go to these events, kind of a thing. So he's not just one of those passive members who's just like, you know, These are my personal beliefs, and that's all good. He is a salesperson for these beliefs.
You know, I've heard of this other religion that actually sent people around the world to try and convert people. They were called missionaries, and they went to Africa and Japan.
Oh, yeah. They did a really great job, particularly here in America. I think that all the Native Americans are real thankful for all the missionaries that came over and really fucked with them.
I'm just saying, it's tit for tat. It's the same kind of deal. I mean, just because all of a sudden Scientology is encroaching on your space, not your space, but religion space.
Yeah, but I had a problem with that back then, but I couldn't do anything about it when I was not born.
This is true, but I'm just trying to point out the fact that people give Scientology, and this is going to be my general position, is that people give Scientology a bad rap, but as far as I'm concerned, other religions are just as bad, if not worse.
I mean, okay, well, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about. You see, because that's the perception that there is.
Yeah.
And like, They're just as bad as all the other ones, and that's the end of the story.
So
right?
I'm fulfilling my everyman role.
You are fulfilling that role quite well. I knew you would, basically, having done very little research on it.
I told you, I read some stuff.
Okay, well, from the stuff that you read,
yeah.
You know, with words,
mm-hmm.
I want you to give me your analysis based on what you read. So this is the breakdown.
My analysis is, again, that basically there's a lot of people out there who say a lot of bad stuff about Scientology that you could basically convert to any other religion. But, I mean, they say, oh, these people, they take your money. Other religions do that. These people say, oh, they drew them in and they isolated them from people outside the religion. You've got tons of branches of Christianity down in the South and all around the world that do that kind of thing. It's common stuff. I mean, again, I just think that Scientology is being demonized to a certain degree, and that's pretty much all there is to it.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the history of how Scientology came into being. I don't know if you know much of its history or why it exists, kind of a thing.
I know the general outline, but you can go over it.
Okay, well, the general outline is essentially this. Now, there's a bit of a controversy regarding its beginnings, because there are quotes from L. Ron Hubbard that he wanted to prove to some of his buddies that he could invent a religion that had as its sole purpose a money making scheme, and he wanted to demonstrate that he could design it like a pyramid scheme. Now, most religions aren't, you know, like their financial operations don't really exist like a pyramid scheme. It's essentially, very decentralized in most types of religion. So then you have a religious institution, which is the local church. It collects monies from individuals as donations, and that these donations go into maintaining the church, its services, and the pastor. And those are generally, all of the money usually collected goes back towards the community or goes towards the particular institution. Okay, so we're agreed about that. Most types of religions are like that. I mean, we could exclude the Catholic Church, which does have sort of that hierarchy, but even then, the church, like the church money, usually does get redistributed to the other churches as well. Parishes and things like that. Missionaries are paid. That kind of stuff, right? So essentially the money goes one way, but gets redistributed. The difference with Scientology And the way that it was designed is that everything centers around the church as a financial institution. The Church of Scientology itself. Like, let's pretend you wanted to start your own branch of Scientology.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what you would first need to realize is that you cannot perform any auditing services. You cannot sell any books. You cannot use any of the images of the religion without paying a certain percentage of all revenues created back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's even the way that it is designed is actually very ingenious. You retain a certain percentage of, like, you get bonuses based on how many people you audit and how much money you get out of them. The way it functions kind of like essentially like one of those pyramid schemes where you sell a product.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get 10 other people to sell the product and give you 10% of their earnings, and then you give that percentage over to the person above you. That's exactly how it's designed. Now, the whole idea and the whole mythology behind it, it was centered around a book called Dianetics, which was, well, a lot of pages of crap about how your body is inhabited by entities called thetans.
So this thetan thing isn't some, because my understanding of it was that the thetan thing was kind of a secret hidden thing that they didn't want people to know about because it was retarded.
No, this is the mythology of the thetans, maybe, but the discussions that there is an entity that is inside of you that causes doubt and fear and pain. This is just from day one, you're told that this is it. I mean, they believe in reincarnation. They believe that, it's a certain type of reincarnation, but they believe that any experiences that you have get passed on in these kinds of thetans, that they have possessed physical bodies, even though they may be in astral form, and that you need to excise them, mm-hmm. right? To excise them, what you need to do is you need to be audited. So, okay, moving on from just then. So it's essentially based on this book, right, Dianetics. And the whole idea was essentially he wanted to sell it as a system where you could expunge these particular entities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and as you went further, you became more enlightened. I mean, it's very much like kind of like a reward system, right? Like you play a game and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I went to level 8 or level 9.
Yeah.
Same kind of idea. All right, now we get to the point where you have to set up a certain structure about how you go about expunging thetans, right? What's the methodology? How do you do it? Well, here's what they do. First, they set you up for your very first audit, which costs about $250, by the way. This is not free.
Yeah.
They sit you down and they make you hold this thing called an e-meter. And an e-meter isn't a very dissimilar from one of those lie detectors.
Yeah.
It kind of detects electrical impulses. Which are usually active either when you're nervous or when you're lying. So they make you hold that and they ask you very personal questions. And those are like the most personal questions you've ever faced in your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You also have to understand that when that happens, you're being recorded. They're recording absolutely everything that you say and they are documenting it. In fact, the Church of Scientology holds every member that ever gets audited, they hold all of that information. Like, they never destroy it, they always keep it.
Man, it's I want to break huge, into
oh
there.
My God, could you imagine?
Can you imagine the stuff you'd hear?
Oh. It's
better than a confession booth, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I'll go about later about what insidious use that kind of information is used
for. I got a feeling there's some abuse going on there.
Oh, man. Okay, once you've said all these secrets, essentially what they'll do is they'll tell you, okay, according to these measurements, you are, you know, invaded by thetans. Your thetan level is very high. This concerns us. What we're going to do is we're going to teach you how you can get rid of these. And the way that is done is through progressive different types of auditing, and each one costing more money. The last one, apparently, I think it's OT8, costs you $1 million. But that's also part of the pyramid, basically, because each stage costs you more money and, you know, is supposed to give you more rewards and more tools for living and stuff like that. But this is not, all of this is, you know, isn't about free, okay?
Yeah.
Enlightenment costs money.
Yeah.
And that's actually the first kind of scary thought. I mean, I know you say that, well, you know, religion is interested really in mostly money, but
yeah.
It's not interested in going to its members and saying, I can tell you the way to heaven, but it's going to cost you $450 this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you really think... How similar to religion is Scientology in that manner?
I'll agree with you. That's pretty sketchy. So
now, what was really sketchy is, and this is kind of like before Scientology, at least in the United States, was recognized an official religion, there was a huge degree of controversy about L. Ron Hubbard's personal coffers. Now, when he died in the 80s, they believed that he had over $500 million stashed in secret bank accounts all over the place. Because you have to remember, at that time, the Church of Scientology was not a church at all. It was just a private organization.
Yeah.
And they actually indicted his wife because he was dead. They indicted his wife, who was the leading senior member of the organization. They indicted her, and they actually charged her with fraud, stealing government evidence. And this is an operation called Operation Snow White, which they had done. Which I'll discuss a little bit later. Anyways, so she's indicted. She goes to jail. Church washes their hands of her. And that's the end of the story.
Is she still in jail?
She's dead. She died in...
In jail?
No. She died in 1992 in obscurity. The church literally erased her name from every single document. Even the books that she had written that they still use. Her name is completely and utterly expunged from there.
Wow.
Well, they had no choice. I mean, it kind of like reflected poorly on them, and they wanted
to... In the grand scheme of things.
But, okay, the Xenu thing, and we'll get to that now. Basically, okay, now you know that it takes auditing sessions. You have to pay for these. Okay, so now you have to ask, well, where do these thetans come from? Okay, this you know.
Yeah, I saw a South Park episode.
Okay, so what do you know about the Thetans?
You got the Thetans come to Earth. No, wait. They're in the galaxy, and they're flying in their spaceships.
No. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Basically, a galactic tyrant by the name of Xenu.
I knew about Xenu.
Right. This is trillions of years ago, by the way.
Yeah.
Not billions, because the universe is roughly about 14 billion, but trillions of years ago.
I like it.
Xenu decides that the galaxy is overpopulated. So he sets about taking about half the population, and he puts them in spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
He cryogenically freezes his prisoners. Puts them in spaceships and sends them to Earth. He then dumps their bodies into volcanoes,
mm-hmm.
which he then erupts with atomic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
The souls, now dead, roam around the Earth, but he's not done. He collects the souls in these gigantic soul-collecting machines.
Yeah.
And reprograms the soul so that they don't remember about their past. It's kind of like, you know, watching a propaganda movie from the 30s.
Yeah.
Okay, so then once they're released, a couple million years go by. I don't know what the timeline here for L. Ron Hubbard. Anyways.
Yeah.
Then they latch themselves onto the only living species, which apparently also have souls, which are humans.
So cats and dogs don't have souls?
They don't have thetans, no. I know.
Huh.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I guess they only live 12 years, so no time to develop a soul or something.
Yeah.
Well, you can't audit a cat. He doesn't have any money.
Can't get money out of a cat.
Well, unless you skin him and sell him for meats.
This is true.
Okay, so after that, basically they attach themselves to you and I, and basically that's what gives you your ultimate doubt and fears.
So this is the super secret document.
This was so secret, in fact, L. Ron Hubbard maintained that if any mortal human being heard this truth without first being prepared to OT3, their minds would literally explode.
Explode?
Yeah. You're all right?
Well, maybe...
I'm okay.
Here's the thing.
Oh, God!
Maybe we're just not telling the story right. Maybe if it was told the way L. Ron wanted it or expected it to be told, then maybe our heads would explode.
Well, I don't know. I've read his book, and the only thing he ever gave me was a headache about how poor his writing was. So perhaps that's like a mini explosion.
What was that movie again? Battlefield Earth?
Battlefield Earth, yeah.
That was bad.
That was awful. That's considered one of the worst science fiction movies of all time.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Way to go, buddy. Failed pulp fiction. Well, failed. I guess when you have like a bunch of crappy fans.
Well, here's a very successful author. So...
very prolific. You know, he Scientology has the most documentation, like the most writings from any of its quote-unquote prophets. I think it has something like 100,000, like he wrote 100,000 pages of stuff on Scientology.
Wow.
100,000 pages. There's a fucking tome I don't want to read.
Yeah.
Anyways, now... but back to kind of the activities of the church, which is what I want to talk about mostly, because, you know what, every religion that I can think of has at least its own wacky stories that just don't make any sense. And you know what, at the end of the story, at the end of the day, you're just like, it's a wacky story. It's a religious myth.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, right? It shouldn't affect whether or not one is, you know, more helpful than the other, because it could still potentially be helpful, right?
Yeah.
If they claim that they provide solutions to living your life, okay.
I mean, I would love to see a monkey army go up against Thetans, see who wins. I mean, the monkeys are immune to Thetans, right?
I don't know, actually. Maybe they're so close to us. Maybe by the time they're an army, they may have developed souls. I don't know that whole story. But what worries me the most about Scientology, and this is why it is a cult, and I'm not going to lie about this. I didn't say my name was John Smith at the beginning of the show, by the way.
Yeah.
You get sued. But the reason they are a cult is twofold. Number one is... the obvious avarice and greed they have regarding money. This is an organization that wants to make money. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
It's the wealthiest religious organization in the world because of the way that they, you know, market themselves and the way that they collect money. And number two, it's because of how they treat individuals that are either considered enemies of the church or defectors of the church. And this is when the auditing really becomes a useful tool for these individuals, because at that point... they have information to use against you, to blackmail you into either shutting you up about the activities of the church or in even keeping you inside the church. There's a number of individuals that have, you know, that are routinely harassed, threatened, either legally or physically. They did something called Operation Freakout, which is when they try to commit an author, a journalist, to a mental institution for writing against their church. I mean, they went into her house, they stole some of her post-it notes that had her fingerprints all over it. They later used this note to make bomb threats with. She was arrested, investigated. It was found that she was actually that the notes they used was not her handwriting and had been stolen. That led the FBI to then break into the Church of Scientology, the major church's headquarters. They found 4,800 pages worth of notes detailing how they wanted to sabotage her, destroy her relationship. They sent letters to her neighbors about the fact she had a venereal, or claiming she had a venereal disease. They wanted to make her make death threats against the President of the United States for her to be jailed. And while simultaneously by investigating this, they found something else called Project Snow White, which was perhaps the craziest thing, where they wanted to
Wait a minute, so these project names were the projects that the people
inside
the
church called
it.
They called it Snow White, and what they wanted, Project Snow White was actually designed by L. Ron Hubbard himself to discover what the FBI and what the government had on him, to destroy his files. They literally stole documents from the government, because they had many, many, many people working within the government. They stole files. They threatened government officials. And like the insanity of this, and actually several high church members, including L. Ron Hubbard's wife, were jailed for many years for these issues. And the church has maintained that these were individuals that worked outside of the organization. They were independent. They had nothing to do with the activities of the church. And yet all of this was actually perpetuated and designed specifically by a very paranoid and delusional individual in L. Ron Hubbard. He was quite insane. Mm. And he always thought that individuals that weren't Scientologists were either out to get you or were a potential danger. And they identify outsiders specifically as individuals that pose a threat, a danger to the church. So if you're not a believer, you are literally a potential threat, and that's how they view you. They don't view you necessarily a convert, but as a threat, if you don't believe in what they believe.
You know what that kind of reminds me of?
No.
Kind of a lame version of Fight Club.
The first rule of Scientology is you do not talk about Scientology.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but, that's pretty creepy, but this is the thing. I just don't know what to believe. You were mentioning at the beginning of this conversation that there were quotes attributed to L. Ron Hubbard where he was saying that he could basically create a religion and make a ton of money off of it.
Right.
What's the source on these, and how reliable is it? And because when you got, like my opinion of all the gossip rags and my opinion of all of, like, you know, the National Enquirer and everything like that, is the fact that it's all lies. And why is it all lies? Because people are willing to make up stories, not just for money. They don't even need a monetary incentive. They just want to make up lies because then they get a piece of these famous people, and they get something out of, they get some kind of high out of making up these stories. So when it comes to celebrity stories, I always think this isn't true until I have proof otherwise that it is.
Well, this is also why I said that this quote wasn't necessarily 100% substantiated.
Yeah.
And sure, you may not always be able to substantiate claims or quotes from an individual said in an off-color remark.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But you have to look at the actions, you know, surrounding that quote. Mm-hmm. Like, if he had said that and all of a sudden continued writing novels... You would dismiss that as just being another claim from someone who thought that they were the bomb.
Let's put it this way, though. If we went to court, I was put on trial for murdering someone.
Sure.
And then you were put on the stand, and they said, Jacob, has Brian ever talked to you about murdering people before? I think I have.
Okay.
I think I have several times.
Let's use your example. Let's say that you had murdered someone specifically to collect insurance money of over $1 million. Mm-hmm. And that you had discussed in an off-color remark wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they asked me the question, I would answer truthfully, yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it was a coincidence. But in that fact, I think everyone's eyebrow would be raised a little and said, even an off-color remark made as a joke can sometimes be real.
And can sometimes be damning.
Can sometimes be very damning. And in that, and in your case, just like in L. Ron Hubbard's case, it doesn't necessarily prove intent. But it definitely seems to indicate this idea that, well, one, he didn't take religion very seriously. And two, the stretch from saying, okay, well, he bet a friend that he could make a religion to make money. The fact that he made one that specifically does that, sure, it could be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's the smoking gun in your hand, but you know what? Somebody else fired it and threw it at you, and you caught it.
Well, I guess you got to realize that there's lots of religions based around the Judeo-Christian God that, you know, or offshoots that are just created to bilk money. So why is it so far-fetched that there are other religions that are designed around that same aspect?
Well, you know, we were talking about the cult aspect of some religions, such as, for instance, in Jehovah Witnesses, that if you recant, if you apostatize, there are clear instructions from individuals within the church that they have to shun you and they have to sever contact with you, and this is part of like the kind of psychological and torture that these kinds of organizations use to try to bring you back. Now we admit that those kinds of tactics are immoral,
lame,
are very lame, and they're disastrous. Now if Scientology does it, and this is one of the first signs of what we would consider a cult, that we have to admit, obviously, that there are more cults than simply Scientology. What I'm worried about is the size and scope and power of an organization like Scientology. An organization that has so much control over its members and so much control over government that it really is recognized as a religion. It has a lot of individuals of substantial power and influence promoting it. And hiding its agenda. And what is its agenda? Well, its agenda is really domination. Its agenda is to be, you know, the number one religion. And could you imagine how much it would generate as the only religion?
Yeah, I gotta tell you the truth. The Scientology as the number one religion doesn't scare me as much as, say, evangelical Christianity. That's the number one religion. Because,
if
scientists are all about just I'm sorry, I've got
too much beer in you.
I've got stupid on me today. I don't know. It's all over me. But if Scientologists are just all about making money, then at the very least they're not going to try and keep me from having my abortions and having my gay sex and my gay marriages.
What a weekend.
And drinking beer and doing drugs and everything else that I love to do as a general free individual.
You're using the word free individual, but here's the other part of Scientology.
Are you about to say we're not really free, Jacob? No!
What I wanted to say is the reason I'm actually more scared of Scientologists than I am of evangelical Christians is that evangelical Christians still maintain that you have free will. Actually, it's paramount to their entire idea of religion because you are free to choose God or not to choose God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Scientology, the auditing process that I was telling you about is designed in such a way to literally steal your own freedom away from you. Like, they use psychological techniques to break you down. Essentially, one of the things that they do, actually, is let's pretend you're sitting down. One of their tests is that they're going to yell things at you,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to do it for a specific amount of time. And if you flinch, then they start over. Until they'll say whatever crazy, horrible things at you to try to shock you. And the whole thing is that you can't produce an emotional reaction, right? So they will take actually the information that they garnered from your audit, and they'll bring it back at you saying, you are a homosexual, you had sex with this man. And if you blink, if you show any emotion, it has to start over. So if they say it'll take 15 minutes to do this, and you blink, the 15 minutes starts over. But the whole reason they do this is because they're essentially trying to make you into a robot.
Mm-hmm.
They want to remove the kind of like mechanisms that you have of shock, of fear, or whatever it is, to try to break you down into a very, very tightly woven, scripted individual. And L. Ron Hubbard, you may not know this, but he was a trained and highly skilled hypnotist. And a lot of the techniques of Scientology, of auditing, are actually based around techniques of hypnosis and control.
Wow, that's creepy.
Is that not creepy? I've actually seen audits where, you know, where they would sort of yell names, or one of the audits, you had to remain completely still, and the other person would randomly, like, try to make you flinch. And if you flinched, they had to start over.
What is this, like, grade 7?
It's just, what, like, again, it's designed to really make you into somewhat of a robot, so that your emotions and your thoughts can literally be controlled by the person doing the auditing. Because that's what's important. If they have control over you, then they can dictate your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what they say. They say, we provide tools for living. What they do is they take away the tools that you have of self-realization and include their own tools.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, and another scary thing that you don't know, is that they have programs which are disguised as programs to help people get off drugs, programs to help people get out of prison. One of them, in fact, is called Narcanon, right? And this program just said, it's not even officially affiliated with the church, but it is an offshoot of the church.
They had to remove the official affiliation because I heard about that.
Yeah, well, they still maintain Narcanon and those other programs. And those are just designed to glean people that are in very emotionally fragile positions and use the same techniques to break them down and make them essentially easy converts to the church.
But here's a question for you. What do they do with all of the poor people who are Scientologists, who can't afford more auditing?
Well, here's an interesting thing. According to many of the insiders, because this is also this is information that's difficult to glean.
Yeah.
But according to many of the insiders, they essentially work for the church. So when you're part of the church, you will work at a regular job, and a certain percentage of your salary, a huge percentage of your salary, in fact, is taken by the church. You're put in debt in a sense for the kind of auditing that they'll do. So they'll do an audit, and they'll say, you owe us $100,000, and you're going to work this over this span of time.
Yeah.
And essentially you're signing over either your life or part of your job to them to pay for these audits.
Wow.
So it's like having a great amount of slave labor working for your favor. Because you're right, most of these people can't afford the auditing. But it doesn't matter if they can provide you labor, a consistent stream of income. I mean, that's really what matters. And besides, you wouldn't want everybody achieving OT8. It eliminates the whole idea of like a hierarchy.
Yeah.
You need a certain set amount of individuals that can reach it.
People like John Travolta and Tom Cruise. And,
right, that are special, more special than you, and seem to give off this image that they are really living it up. And if they credit the church, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not working hard enough, or I haven't eliminated my thetans enough, and they become kind of like the standard for which you want to kind of try to achieve.
I would give away anything to have sex with Katie Holmes.
Beautiful
babies.
With a little herpes mouth thing she had going on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you would.
And those are face thetans.
She also has banana boobs.
Does she?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw the gift. I saw that in the gift.
That's not.
No, it's not. I would still go in for her.
I'm glad that you shared it in that way. That's really going to help our credibility.
Yeah.
I said the F word twice, so it probably doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This show is PG-13.
Ah. Oh, we're no longer acceptable.
Put your children to bed, people.
I don't think they listen to this podcast.
That's true.
So, okay. Now that I've given you all this information, what is now your opinion of the Church of Scientology? Because before you said, well, they're no worse, no better than most religions that I know, but has that opinion changed now that you know some of the other facts?
I would say they're definitely a bit higher on the creepy scale, but on a general level, I say anybody that gets suckered into their stupid religion deserves it.
Well, you know what I say, though, because and this is the same with most other cults, because, you know, you get to people when they're at their weakest, when they're at their most desperate. And sure, you know, I could try to blame these individuals saying, you should have been stronger, but hell, I mean, I've been in places in my life where all of a sudden, you know, maybe I was vulnerable or not always strong. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I wouldn't want someone to criticize my most intense moment of weakness as saying, well, you know, you got what you deserved. You should be, you know, completely and utterly controlled by this church who not only has information on you that they can blackmail you with, that they, consistently harass you, sue you, try to ruin your life. I mean, no one deserves that simply because they had a moment of weakness. I mean, the difficulty is not only in living with a church, it's mostly living outside the church, of escaping it. Mm-hmm. The individuals that are really in trouble are not just those that are inside of it. It's really those that are trying to detach themselves from it and, you know, are either broke because they gave them all their money or, you know, are harassed and have to move and are ostracized by their community.
Mm-hmm.
This is a frightening prospect. And I'm not going to just suddenly, you know, blame the victim. I mean, we're so quick to blame the victim. Why should we blame the victim? Blame the organization whose very design is to exploit people. Yes, I will call you out, you bastards. I'm not going to blame your victims, all right? They're either in a desperate place or perhaps they're just dumb, all right? Stupid is not a crime.
It should be.
You're a monster, Ryan.
I have a very, very dead heart.
All right. Well, do you have any closing thoughts on this particular issue?
No, I don't like talking about Scientology. It makes me uncomfortable. I feel afraid that someone's going to come after me now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they may come after me. I mean,
they'll come after your website.
They're going to spam me.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the ones who keep putting those ads about, you know, larger penises. Maybe they're just trying to silence me.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Well, my closing thoughts are essentially this. I know that a lot of individuals out there really think that Scientology is one of those, you know, kind of harmless religions that really does no real evil. But I want us to all consider the fact that here's an organization that is not only ridiculously secretive, but also possesses the kind of information and the kind of power to really ruin the lives of individuals that don't agree with them. If you need proof of that, just look how litigious they are. They'll sue you for even mentioning their names or even showing a picture of L. Ron Hubbard, who they consider at least to be some kind of demigod. The idea that an organization who is based solely on the propagation of their ridiculous and sometimes even dangerous ideologies of saying that psychiatry is evil, that drugs to cure depressions or other serious medical ailments are wrong, and that you should replace that with vitamins is really a health problem. They should also be held accountable for the fact that they have committed various crimes that have not gone punished. And they have been responsible for the death of a few individuals that have their lives ruined by the horrible actions of the so-called church. So what I'm saying out there, and I hope that perhaps one of you Scientologists is listening to me out there, is I'm calling you out. I'm saying I want you to defend yourself as opposed to just needlessly attack everybody. Why don't you prove to me that what you really believe in is worth it? Otherwise, I think you should probably go back to your caves where you're enjoying your lunch with your fellow Thetans and perpetuating your ridiculous myths.
I imagine they probably actually go back to their palaces full of money.
Full of gold. All right, and with that, we'll end it with the dreams of Scientology gold.
Ah, yes.
I almost imagine Indiana Jones in the Temple of Scientology, where he tries to steal all the gold. What do you think?
The scariest one ever.
Oh, God, it would be frightening. Mm-hmm. It would be worse than the Temple of Doom.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I am your host, Jacob Fortek.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have yourself a good atheist day.